Welcome to the Cannabis Connection. I am your host, Christopher Carr. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Santa Cruz Cannabis Talk Radio. We have a lively in-person guests here in the studio. I have Valerie Corral live in the studio and Bailey Logan. Welcome to the show. Thank you both for joining us.
What a pleasure. How fun to be here.
Thank you.
On a beautiful Friday, after some nice rains, we have the sun today.
The sunshine is just brightening our spirits, that's for sure. Right.
It is brightening our spirits. Yeah, long week and a long couple weeks, I imagine.
And today is the first day of International Women's Day.
It's International Women's Day. So what a perfect
thing. Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Stars aligned. Well, thank you for being here. Yeah. And happy International Women's Day to everybody listening. And every day is a wonderful day to celebrate the sacred feminine. So it's very nice to have you both here. And let's just jump right in. It's been an exciting time. How did last night go, Val?
Well, it was amazing. Outcome was incredible. There were moments when, you know, one always question arises as to whether or not the final outcome that you hope for will be achieved. And though I have to say, the presentation on the part of the city and just looking at the data, at the facts, not moving the goalposts, so to speak, that's really not a fair thing to do. And the presentation that Bryce's team, Bryce and Kyle, put together was just remarkable and undeniable perfection. It was superbly put forth. And, you know, I feel so fortunate after, as you know, as being a member and employee.
Yeah.
If we can call it an employee that really doesn't get paid, but yes, kind of the historical, financial, I won't say ruination, but the way that we thrive, you know, we don't really do it with
money,
but with that said, you know, finding a way to build a partnership with such an amazing team of people whose hearts are in this, connected to the vision and the mission of our work, of our decades-long work, 31 years, you know, it's amazing. And I feel so fortunate to be in the presence and company of young energy, you know.
Yeah.
This is the way of the present and the future because, you know, we only ever have had this moment. No matter where we are, it's been right here.
It's so, right now. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but it needs new blood. It needs new life, new thoughts. It needs to be, this is the, I've told you this before. I was in the garden once with John Trudell, the incredible, genius, brilliant orator.
That's right.
And I said to him, I was trying to be cool, you know, revolutionary, and he's like, no, Val, revolutionary means that you evolve and come back to where you were. Evolutionary means that you progress and you move beyond.
Wow.
So nicely. Yeah. So this is the evolution of, you know, this kind of this, what's been revolutionary.
Yeah.
And we had to really
build this just a little closer to you.
Thank you. We had to really build it from the dregs, you know, facing lots of challenges. And that last night, that's been one of many that we've faced over the last year. And as my mama always said, never doubt.
Never doubt. Yeah. Yeah. I woke up this morning and felt the 5-2 relief, right? You know, a sigh of relief. And I believe there was a nice outpouring of support.
There certainly was. There was an amazing outpouring of support. You could see all the green.
Yeah.
We held up green cards for those of us. Of course, you're not seeing this; it's radio. But we held up green cards for all of those who were present in support.
Oh, nice!
Which was helpful and I think impressive. But what was really impressive is that laying down the truth without attack or bitterness or trying to find a divisiveness in our community, but recognizing that we're all there because we love our community and we're concerned about not only youth, but we're concerned about sick and dying people.
That's
and
right.
That's how, you know, that's my focus and my mission. And we can't really succeed in serving not only the people that we have been serving for 31 years, for those that are still alive or growing up,
yeah,
but the future of others in need without this kind of committed, remarkable team.
Yes.
Of that Bryce and Kyle, the Hook Treehouse, and all of the staff, Bailey included. And
so exciting.
Remarkable. It's so fun. And it's, you know, it's lively. It's
yes, the new life life to WAM, which is exciting.
Well, and I'm sleepy. I don't have to take coffee. I can just go in and hang out with y'all.
That's exciting. And Bailey, when did your journey start with this plant? You know, and this is in a way an evolution.
Yeah, yeah. I started, you know, back in 2016. Yep, it was the election year, and I was a butt tender in Sacramento. It was after a long journey down in Peru studying yoga and plant medicine. I came back and had one of those big moments of clarity in the sense that I was like, hey, I need to be working with plants. I need to be helping people with their healing journey. That's what I'm passionate about. That's what I need to be doing. And so from there, I, you know, I quit my corporate job in Silicon Valley, which of course was my parents' nightmare. They were like, what are you doing? You're doing what?
What's
and
going
I was
on?
Like, I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to study yoga. They're like, okay, we wow. support you. We nice. Love you. Shout out mom and dad. But, you know, it was the best decision I ever made. And, you know, I found myself here in Santa Cruz, just going on 7 years now. And then the yoga is what brought me here. And I, then eventually made that transition back into cannabis, and I found Kyle and Bryce. And
nice.
It was such an amazing moment to really connect with them and meet them and be a part of their vision since day one. I remember standing in the Capitola Hook location.
When right around the corner?
Right around the corner.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
It was so
full
great.
Circle.
We're
yeah.
neighbors, right?
Yeah, that's
it's,
right.
It's awesome. Yeah, the place had, you know, green carpet and mirrors, and it was like, what should we do? You know?
Wow.
And so from there, it was just like paving the way forward for creating the vision and standing by the vision, creating the core values for what soon to be will be this team that we have, which
yes.
is a really amazing group of individuals that are so bright, so passionate and intelligent. I'm just so honored to be a part of and work with every single day. It's
yeah.
it's really truly a labor of love. So.
Beautiful. Well, and in I was with Valerie in those early, it's been a progression to get to this point with this relationship with the Hook and Bryce and Kyle, and I would love to hear about that evolution of what's exciting and what when we talked about a week ago, Valerie, was members of our community that have been in the community for so long, they know WAM, they support WAM, but this is in the spirit of the theme of evolution. It's a way for WAM to continue and evolve with the times and carry on the service for the sick and the dying, but also lead by example. And for those maybe that don't know it, there's a new location on Mission Street, the old Emily's Bakery, such a beautiful place. And that's what we're speaking to with the Planning Commission meeting last night, which voted in favor of what the community wants, which is to enable and to proceed towards opening a new Hook location that will facilitate WAM phytotherapies and the work and the mission of WAM and evolve and bring in some young blood. But maybe we could speak a little bit, talk story about that journey from, you know, those early conversations to now.
Right. Well,
and that location too,
because
that was new to me.
That's
I recently learned about it.
Yeah. That's pretty remarkable. It's necessary for us to evolve. And so 2018, of course, everything changed. We've lost two locations because the owners of the buildings refinanced and the banks were calling, would have called in the loans. So twice we've been moved, and we're to be honest, you know, I'm out of money to be able to support it. Here's the thing: allowing this WAM to take a hiatus is impossible. You can't take a hiatus from service and still keep your organization of service running. It's you're either doing it or you're not.
That's right.
So it's profoundly important that we continue the service above all other things.
Amen.
So we find the ways to do it. And, you know, when something, there's always a way to achieve your goals, and as long as, I believe, as we keep our eyes on the vision. So along the way, in 30 years, we've achieved different missions that we've had, but never have we wavered on our vision, because our vision's what takes us to the portal of our, it's how we live our lives.
That's right.
It's who we are as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes us to the whatever lay beyond, who I don't really mind, but I don't know, and I don't mind. Whatever it is, it's fine.
Yeah.
But here, now is where we have, I do, and all of us have a sense of, you know, infinite possibilities. Aldous and Laura used to say that the possible human become the possible human. That's anything that you can see, which also leads you to whatever lay beyond.
Mm.
So we're in this lay beyond part of our evolution. For we have not been able to move forward in the build out. It's just too much money. And so when I sat with that realization of like $500,000 minimum.
Scary.
Well, yeah, and how many people can you help for $500,000? What do I need to have a building?
I hear what you're saying. Like, yeah.
What do I need?
Allocating of those resources, yeah.
Yeah, do I need something fancy? And what would that look like? And why would I need it? And so with that said, we looked for it. I talked with a lot of different people. A lot of people came. A lot of people, of course, people want the license or the partnership. And I really didn't want partners. I mean, I don't think... That's not a business partner. So get an investor, get a business partner. That just doesn't suit me. It doesn't. I don't think that's the most optimum way for us to move forward.
Mm.
But to take a share in a relationship of service is what I was looking for. So that what does that mean to these guys, to Bailey and all the rest of the staff, and Bryce and Kyle and everybody at the Hook and the Treehouse? Amazing, amazing folks working with Jenna and Mike so closely, and Johnny, I mean, just looking, and everybody. I mean, I can name all.
Oh, I know. It takes
on.
A village.
It is a village,
and that's what WAM is, and has been.
Yes,
and it will continue.
And it also puts a burden of labor.
Yeah, there's responsibility,
extra work that they do. They're not getting paid for it. It's more of a burden. It takes away from their tips to help us survive.
Yeah,
I mean, it's definitely a gift, and
it's
so
a gift.
Every single time that somebody walks in, however it is that they're being served, whether they're WAM members and they're being served at no cost, it isn't no cost. It costs.
That's
money.
Right.
They don't have to pay because they don't have the funds. They can donate, and that's wonderful when they can, and they do, and many people do. But each time that occurs, I don't want to call it a burden, but it can be a burden if there's not an exchange of energy and a flow of a balance that flows between those being served and those serving.
Mm.
So how does that work really? Like if you're helping somebody that can't really give you an exchange, what is the energy exchange? And so I think that's part of the way that we embrace a new vision, a new way of looking at, and that's not new. I mean, people have been doing it forever, but in this enterprise,
that's right.
The way for us to look at, expand what profit means. So profit of and the richness of our hearts, of the goodness, the profit of feeling good about your job and your work and being appreciated at your job and doing something important in the world that enriches the next person. My Nana used to say that life's a circle, and you know, you're always you help one person, but don't expect them to do something for you. They're gonna do it for the next person. And when you're in need, there will be someone there to support you. And that's really how we've done this for
so long
years. I mean, it's
incredible.
Yeah, it's lucky.
It is. But it's also a testament to the circle full coming back around. And there is different types of fulfillment in enterprise, and cannabis has always had the potential. I love how you said too, like, we are human, have the human potential, speaking about evolution in this theme we're exploring, and the energy exchange, I think, is what can really be highlighted here. Kind of what you said, Bailey, too, is like, this truly is a labor of love, and working with the plant and working with people, those aren't monetary things. That's an energetic exchange that fills our cup in such a way that we can fill others' cups when they are empty or thirsty or in need. And it's like a mother's love. It's family, right? Family always takes care of one another, and that can extend out into the community. And I'm really proud of everyone here in this room, but proud of Santa Cruz to remember who we are. Mm-hmm. And starting with last night, but there's still more to do.
There's lots to do.
It's not over. Well, if all goes well, which it seems that as of this show, I think there was 1150 signatures, which is exciting, Valerie.
Because
we spoke over the weekend, there was zero.
That's right.
Or Move On hadn't launched yet. Texted Bryce while we were talking. So from that moment, less than a week. Yeah. 1,100. I think the goal is 1,500. So we're very. It's probably
it's
there.
It's 2,000, but
okay. Well, it'll be there.
Let's get it.
Yeah.
Get on that.
Yeah, and just focus on the positive, because there were the. Well, maybe we should speak to the 500 signatures against, and we've all served on groups that are looking to take care of the youth prevention, CPP, community prevention partners.
Right.
And together.
I want to just say something else. If there's
please.
Been, this is our community has been so helpful across so many, in so many ways and across so many boundaries. It's been profoundly supportive, and Strong Agronomy has been supportive, and we've been partners and there, and also Highway 1 Distribution. And
they're amazing.
Yeah, they're just so beautiful. I mean, I can't speak enough to the kindnesses, and then many other community members giving, donating. Now, a lot of what our members, they love the gummies, and I feel like sometimes in old Nana, no, you know, take Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Take your medicine, a spoonful of
sugar. Whatever, whatever it takes.
Medicine doesn't look like that. Medicine.
No.
Well, there, for me, the reason I do that is because I've always worked with kids. So I don't want it to look like candy. I'm happy when my friends love a gummy. That's fine, because they'll take it. That's good for them. I don't really do that myself personally. I mean, I'll look at those limitations you got, Val, but the perceptions, right? So, but the medicinal aspect, the part that serves the patient is you kind of do need something to wash it down. So I'm okay with that, and I've always been okay with that. I would rather have more like something sublingual or a patch or something, because I really don't want I want our kids to the kids that we work with to be understand that that's medicine, that it's not candy, to not confuse that candy is medicine. Candy's candy.
And they're patients. They have serious...
Oh, yes, life-threatening.
For the audience that doesn't quite understand or know WHAM's work, these are very... Yeah.
Cancers, glioblastomas, childhood cancers.
That's right.
DNM1, one of our members is one of 65, juxtapose the number 65 children in the world
who
have this genetic disorder, which is not only a seizure disorder, but it's a developmental... seizures have a profound... When children have a profound effect on developmental progress.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to mitigate those in any way is important. And then having the thing... the thing that I see that's lacking, and this is where, I mean, where I, what I grew up doing, my mom would take me with my nonna, we'd go to help, we'd feed the poor, we'd go over to somebody's house to help them on the weekend, and I pick fruit in their yard, and if they were in the wheelchair or had a surgery, or, you know, one of my best friends only had a torso, you know, had, was born with no legs, could do anything. Don't try to go off the high dive with him because he would scare you. So, you know,
it scares me no matter what. High dive,
right? So, it's the children teach children better than adults. Not better than adults, but they teach them differently.
Yeah,
and children listen to children in ways that, in a language that we don't even speak, that we've forgotten how to speak.
Yeah.
And it's also not our role to be the child's best friend. Our role is to be, is to impart knowledge and information in a very different way than children do with children. But I guarantee that if some of the parents that were concerned could, if we could integrate and the schools were more integrated, we wouldn't separate our kids out so much. Mm. That if there were, there were classes, the you want to normalize something? Because cannabis, it's out of the bag. Forget about it. You're not going to... That's done.
Yeah.
That happened in 1996. You're not going back in time and we're going to normalize it because you walk by it. It kids go by alcohol. They go down that. It's not forbidden to walk down an alcohol aisle.
Not at all. No, yeah.
So, but I and I don't want to, I don't believe in the war against some drugs, as Bob Wilson used to say. No. No, I don't believe in that. I believe education, knowledge, yes, information is the most valuable tool that we can have. And children, integrating them into the same space. Kids who are sick and kids who are not. I know kids can be mean. So can I,
people.
Hang around, yeah. I've been around a lot of.
Sure.
I've been around a lot of mean people. Yeah. So they weren't just kids.
That's
so
right.
There's also something that children can be mean when they see a weakness if they're, if they feel weak. If they're not empowered and they don't understand.
Yeah.
So there, some of it comes from that. Children can be kind. And so when we expose with guidance children to children with disabilities, as my friend Gabrielle used to say, differently abled, disabilities, then they become aware of something that they hadn't known before. Not only are they learning, but it's also stimulating or inciting compassion with
compassion. I'm glad,
and that's like that's the key for to living in a world that I want to live in. I'm like I'm almost 100, so like how much longer is that going to be? I want to still live in that world, and that's still the dream that we share.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. I almost have to do Valerie Bingo. I'm almost 100 is on the bingo because that's one of the. But it's true. The compassion is really the root of why we are here and why we have careers in this new industry, this nascent space. And if we don't remember where we come from, how can we forge ahead in this spirit of evolution? Because this space is brutal. It's been a very hard time across the board. We've seen a lot of local operators. That's what's exciting. Bailey and Bryce and the Hook team is still locally owned. You guys are still Santa Cruz, and that's what I'm proud of. And that's why I see it as a really kismet relationship partnership to continue, because even groups that I've been a part of are no longer, you know, they've, and that's just a part of capitalism. Maybe that's just, I was always hopeful for something different in cannabis, in the cannabis quote unquote industry. But before industry was compassion, was collective, was wham, was community, was giving away that medicine on the steps of City Hall. I still have, still go on tour playing music and I say Santa Cruz and people are like, oh, that, you know, wham, when they gave this patient stuff, you know, it's like it's ingrained in people's consciousness. Everywhere.
I think that was Dr. Arnie Leff. I think that was his
Arnie
idea.
Leff.
We were all
brilliant.
We were all sitting in the with and
Emily, legend.
Emily was there. Emily's Bakery, right?
Oh, and that's full circle. And that's this.
And here we're going into her. I mean, I'm so excited about this.
So that's lovely to hear.
I want an office in Emily's bakery. So, I gotta have to twist some arms. Probably be a walk-in. So, back to a walk-in closet after 30 years, but that's okay.
Well, let's can we go back down that memory lane, right? So Emily's Bakery is the location for this joint endeavor and this partnership, but I just cited a moment in history, a great moment in cannabis history, great moment in Santa Cruz history. Mm-hmm. And so Emily was the mayor at that time. Can you give some context on that story if people weren't around for that?
So, 2002, I guess.
So 22 years ago. That's crazy to think. That's right. Wow, what a long time.
Yeah, it has been 22 years. Jeez.
2002, right?
That's right.
Isn't that a flash?
Gosh, it went by in a few.
It goes fast.
It went by in a few gray hairs. I'm just trying to see how many I have. So, Mike, I want to say something to you. Like Mike Corral and my then husband and long time partner and the imaginer, a visionary as well, as much a part of this evolution as anyone. He and his wife are doing other things, but it wouldn't have happened without him.
Yeah.
And then all of the people that we worked with who were courageous.
Yeah.
And many of them, are not here. I don't know what I believe in about afterlife, but gosh, I just think there must be angels, whatever the hell that is, whatever.
Yeah.
We had been very vocal. And we'd been arrested several times. Mike and I had 5 run-ins with the cops, the 5th one being the DEA. The night that we had, I think it was Mother Jones' article, and then a New York Times article, and then we were too vocal about the collective experience. And
I see.
What we were trying to do is say, look, you can do so much more by not doing it on your own. You have so much more power by bringing in others to and hearing, sharing the burden, the work, the activity. And you can do it from seed to deathbed. And that was what we talked about. And so we still do. Well, in the ways that we can. Mm-hmm. So the deathbed part, yes. We were just vocal and pictures. And so the night that we got arrested, Suzanne File, who she is, was one of our founding members. And Alice, I think Alice was there, and Mike was at the other house by the garden, guarding the garden. And we had been up till 3 o'clock in the morning defining the way that our hospice nonprofit would look. And what we wanted to do. So we at first thought we wanted to have a place, and then how would that look? And then we realized we could do more service by spending less money on a facility and facilitating in-home care.
Yeah.
Where people really...
Go to the people.
Yeah, people want to be in their own homes.
They do.
Mostly. Unless their environment isn't lovely. But so that was what we were doing. And so we heard the... On the steps, and I was like, what? On across the deck, and I went... That's weird.
Yeah.
What is that? So I jump out of bed, and then that same thing they already had with Mike, and that was the DEA raid, and they took our plants. But we had some things in place just in case something were to happen. We had 3 different scenarios that we had planned for, and a raid was one of them.
Yeah.
Not that we ever thought it would happen, but...
Like a contingency plan, yeah.
Just in case.
To be careful,
And so we engaged. I don't suggest that everybody talk to the cops. I mean, generally speaking, that's not the avenue that one should take. But I feel very confident in my ability to create a bridge. So, I mean, there's nothing to give up at that point. They already have you with hundreds of plans. So,
let's build a bridge.
They're not mine. But they weren't mine. They were ours. They were everybody's. And so... Long story short, there were a lot of mitigating circumstances that were involved that allowed Alice and Suzanne filed to get off the property. Luckily, they were there, but Suzanne's blood pressure was spiking.
Scary.
And she could have a stroke.
That's right.
So they had to let her go. We were like, call an ambulance, because we knew that that would be good. But they let them go, and the plan went into action. And WHAM members, media, everything, they were there. They locked the gate, locked the DEA in.
Oh, whoa.
And
so the property gate, so the DEA was...
There's only one way in and out of the property.
So you trapped...
Not so great.
You trapped the feds.
But we trapped the feds, yes.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty great.
Nice.
And they had apparently not told the... They didn't get Santa Cruz involved, Santa Cruz Sheriff or County or City Police, but they did involve the city of San Jose, and the chief of police at that time, following that, said he would never work with them again because they did was involve them in something that was what he thought was inappropriate in a way. He was heroic in my view.
Wow.
His son is actually now a policeman in Santa Cruz. So we're very
wonderful.
It's
there's generations here.
Yeah, there are.
You know,
all kinds of avenues.
Evolution, yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, that was a turning point because that's a 10-year mandatory minimum.
Wow.
And I just want to put this out, and I say this, I want to quote my mom here, Nana, because she would be like, oh, don't worry. No doubt you're going to get out of this. And one of her favorite things to say is, don't let doubt enter. Don't have any doubt. Just see it. Don't hope. Don't worry about hoping, because hoping leaves room. Hoping maybe will, maybe won't.
Sure.
But just never let doubt enter. So it's a practice.
Yeah.
It's a practice.
Never let doubt enter.
I was like, Ma, it's a 10-year mandatory.
This is minimum. Serious stuff.
This is like, no, everybody else around, because they were busting everybody. Eddie Lepp, everyone was
down. Oh, yeah. Down. Yep.
And so she said, I know it is, but. It is for others, but it's not going to be for you.
Yeah.
And I miss her voice. She would call me sometimes and say, Val, I have the best feeling, you know.
Oh, wow. I love it.
With all of us, we've been going through a lot. I'm sorry, Bailey, I'm hogging all the
We're learning.
You talk all day, Val. So,
it's, you know, storytelling, right?
Yeah. That's beautiful.
But we've been going through a lot of challenges, Bryce and Kyle and all of us,
the whole team. Yeah.
And it's just, I've just been saying, listen, I'm going to quote my mom here.
Don't let doubt
in. Don't doubt. Just don't see it. We're going to win. And it did not always look, we've had three major challenges. So we have one more to go through. And
one more.
We got it.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yeah, we got this. Yeah, no, I concur. And I did not have doubt. It was eye-opening to see the pushback in the city of Santa Cruz of all places. However, the support, the green was in the crowd and
the sea of green.
Yeah. There you go. And for this last step, Bailey, what can the audience and Valerie, what can we do as a community to support and see this through?
Yeah, we, are just so overwhelmed with gratitude for the support that we've seen so far. I mean, the petition alone is just one thing that we've seen. And then, of course, you know, last night was profound. I mean, the energy in the room was just really amazing. Speaking personally, I was so moved in so many ways by every single person that got up and talked, you know, every single WHAM member that was just there. You know, it's not
That's
easy.
Nice.
It's not easy for these people to show up. And they did, and they did it for us. And even just, you know, the parents in the opposition, like just being in a room with people that are so deeply passionate about something, whatever that is, was really important to witness. And it really brought us back to our roots. And we came fully prepared. You know, Bryce delivered such an incredible presentation.
Excellent.
Fully factual. And that was just such a beautiful thing. But yeah, it just brought us back to our roots. I mean, like Val was speaking about, this is not her first rodeo. And I think that makes us all feel like a little bit, I mean, it's been stressful. And we're like, why WHAM? of all organizations have to go through this again, right?
It's like the Dharma. It's the
totally. And it's like, okay,
chop wood, carry water in this realm of civic process. It's so hard.
So absolutely true.
Exhausting.
And so the team at The Hook, like, we're, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Like, we're ready to go. Like, we're excited about this project. We're honored, deeply honored to be working with Val, and we're deeply honored to be working with Wham. And, you know, we can share in words and stories their legacy. But I went to a Wham meeting this Tuesday, and it was really potent to be a part of and see and be amongst the people that are using this medicine as medicine and helping, witnessing it help them, you know, show up to the meeting and how it's impacted their lives, how they are surviving and willing to be a part of this community. And it's really important that we not only support those people, but destigmatize those people, because this truly is a gift. It's truly medicine. And so, you know, as The Hook, we can only continue to ask for the support of our community, because our community is everything. I mean, not just at The Hook, but Treehouse, you know, their mission is also centered around community. And that's what we are going to be continuing throughout this journey, you know, with this third location. It's about community. It's about the people. And we want the people to, you know, have access to the medicine that they need. And, you know, we're a brand that celebrates life, and we are celebrating, you know, now death as well, which is a big part of it. You know, it's, you can't celebrate death without celebrating life. And so it's really important that we hold space for the people that need it, and just continue down the route of community.
Amen. Yeah. Give thanks for that. Yeah, it's hopefully we can set some more inspire more of this in the space.
Absolutely.
In the greater space. There's room. There's room to serve. I was just seeing Sean McKiernan, and his work with veterans is still it's an ongoing mission. And there's so much more to do.
So much more to do. And having these conversations, you know, like really opening up open, honest, transparent conversations with each other. You know, last night was one big conversation with each other, and really laying everything out there is super important. And hopefully, you know, the parents having these really educational conversations with their kids. I mean,
yeah, it's important.
It's super important. Yeah. It's super important. I know you feel that way as a father.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%. And as a parent and as a person, what we do can reflect on the next generation and to lead by example and to go through the process of last night to see the Planning Commission enforce and vote in a way that is aligned with the policies in place. That's what's really exciting. That stigma didn't overcome or overwhelm, like, the right thing and the facts.
Yeah.
We're on the right side.
The facts were there, and
the votes went the right way.
And it's important to note too. I mean, I know that Emily's is a really beloved place, and Emily herself is
and nostalgic.
Very nostalgic. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's like, can be tough. Change can be tough for a lot of people in the world. And the whole world is going through so much change right now.
Sure.
Every day we're moving in completely different directions at rapid speeds. And yeah, it's just important to know that this isn't another dispensary, right? This is a, you know, withstanding license that has been passed on to us. And so we will be making five, you know, the fifth dispensary in the city. And completely within the zoning requirements that were set by the city. And
that's so right.
The decisions have been made in, you know, a long time ago, and we are just continuing to, you know, uphold to that standard.
Yeah.
And so that's just important to recognize. And I think that was definitely, you know, spoken about in depth last night. And it was also kind of awakening for a lot of people to be able to see visually the zoning on the map.
How challenging it is.
How limited it is. And that's just one.
It's a sea of red. Of no.
The sea of red.
By default, right?
Yes.
And so, and I think the Emily's location, especially for Wham, because it's going to hopefully, Mission Street is a challenging place for foot traffic and what. It's just busy. It's Highway 1.
Yeah.
That said, growing up as a young person, not young, I moved here at 18, but when I was orienting myself in Santa Cruz, visiting friends up at UCSC, that was kind of a stop. I would get a breakfast burrito or something. And so I can envision in the future having, if all goes well, having a compliant above, you know, and beyond community steward organization and you know, activities, but also bringing in, hopefully, for those that need that, like, stop, that place, that third hub to build community. It is a beautiful, like, in that sea of red, it is a little glimmer of green.
Yeah.
It's compliant. But I think as a person in the community and for the future of patients and building community, it's a very appropriate place for Wham, the future of Wham, an appropriate place for this partnership and a perfect place for this new endeavor as the hook and for the fifth space in Santa Cruz, because that is and it's funny that we cited Emily as the mayor and the story of giving away that medicine on the steps of City Hall, because then there's that reoccurring connection in the Santa Cruz story, which is, it's come full circle. And I think it reignites the energy. And I like how you said awakening, Bailey, in the cannabis consciousness in this community, to get back to what's important and where we're back to the roots. I think this cannabis endeavor and trying to survive post Prop 64 has really drained us of the, we've been sleepwalking just to stay alive.
Right.
And so in a way, I feel like there is a conversation happening, whether it be from, you know, feedback and comments from like the Lookout article or posts on Instagram. But I think it at least is the one positive piece to this community dialogue is to kind of awaken some sort of energy, new life towards our values, community values.
Absolutely.
Stewardship and the future of what is cannabis in Santa Cruz, and what do we stand for. And so I'm very proud of the steps that I'm excited that today is like, we're happy. It's not like, oh, last night was terrible. What are we going to do?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. What a blessing.
It's nice that we're feeling affirmed and
it's a conversation
encouraged.
That needed to be had. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because there does need to be more education around, of course,
education.
Cannabis and then also
still,
the cannabis industry. I mean, there is so many rules and restrictions that we have to face all the time, and it's constantly changing. And so that's a big part of our job. It's not an easy industry to be a part of.
No.
But the reason why we are all here is, you know, because we care about people. We care about the plant. And whether you are in the cannabis industry and realize it or not, like, you're here because of Val Corral and Wham's mission, you know, to pave the way forward. And so we're so honored to be able to uphold that. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Well, it's necessary too. We needed to have a new infusion of energy. It had to happen. And I think there are a couple of things. I mean, after that steps of City Hall followed the DEA raid. So we got raided on a Thursday, and I think that was we were on the steps of City Hall on a Tuesday.
That fast.
I think so.
Yeah.
It was something like that. And then we sued the federal government with the city and the county and joined in that lawsuit, and we won. And I mean, it's a pretty phenomenal outcome, which led us to have a feeling of an immense amount of freedom in the unity that we had built, that WHAM didn't belong to one person or two people, or it didn't have
hierarchical.
It was
open people's eyes.
It was more of an inverted triangle, you know, with the needs at the top and that service. And we were all dedicated to that. And so bringing that through a time where I know that more people would in the industry would be more generous if they had more, not everybody, but a lot of people are and have been, and they do what they can. And there are many people to thank. And I, on the heels of Stephanie, as last night speaking, works with a hook, and Bryce as parents, they brought into that space the awareness of responsible parents, of the responsibility that one has personally to not only educate their children, but to protect them. It's
Amen.
It's your job to put. No, you can't have it.
Yeah.
It's not yours.
Children need that. Yeah.
Kids aren't going to have sex, and they aren't going to have alcohol, and they aren't going to have drugs.
They need some structure, routine, and boundaries. And it's healthy.
You're going to go to bed, and you're going to eat good food. And
that's right.
This is what I'm imparting to you. And, of course, you're not going to listen to the parent all the time.
Yeah. That's part of
parents have children to humble them, because they're the biggest challenge you'll ever get.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in my opinion,
super humbling.
I took a child when she was 15, and often Mike and I would have kids in the house when there was trouble in families. My folks did the same thing with friends.
Yeah.
You know, but boy, did I, in 3 seconds, I became like this very dogmatic parent that was like, nope, these are the rules.
And yeah.
Whoa, really? So, but with that said, that's what's important. And I think that we have an opportunity to now step into a sense of responsibility into the school system. Like, how can we show up to be supportive, to carry on a mission, to work with the schools, with the educators, with the hierarchy of those schools, if they invite us? But what is our responsibility?
Well, the ice has been broken, right? So there's this conversation now.
They broke it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They invited us by inviting this conversation.
That's what, and that's part of democracy, is part of our process, which is exciting, because in a way now there's dialogue.
Right.
Which is the way it should be.
Right. Yeah.
And that gives us the chance to participate, also the responsibility.
That's right.
Because we've done it from afar in the CPP, but
yeah, it was more afar.
Right.
Yeah. So. And with the United Way and a coalition.
The coalition,
which is something I was really, it was refreshing too, to work with like United Way and work with the county and yeah. But I think this is a very intimate exchange. Energy exchange. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. And it's another opportunity for growth in a really, I think it's a very constructive process. Eye-opening too, how the prophetic, like, one step forward, two step backward. This is how things work.
Yeah.
It's like you hear it in songs. I was listening to reggae music. It was in a song, and like, well, that's pretty prophetic, because that's still to this day how it goes.
Yeah, well, you're never done with your work.
Like, it continues.
You don't just, oh, hey, we have a Democratic Republic, and now we just get to sit back. No, we don't. No. I mean, we get to look every day at what's happening. We must work to support the freedoms that are in place, and to push back and to show up in numbers, in voice, people are translate directly into votes.
Yeah.
The greatest work that we can do is from neighbor to neighbor, door to door, human to human, person to person. That's where we have power. And I talk with young people all the time. It's like, oh, smoking a joint, but they're like, not kids. Okay, but younger people than me.
No, I understand.
And they're like, it just
compliant over 21 are adults. Yeah,
compliant over 21. Yeah, much more than that.
But
they feel hopeless. They feel like, why vote? Why bother? And I say, if you don't think it's important, put that joint down.
Yeah.
Because the only reason you're smoking it is because
people voted,
and we put our asses on the line. Can I say asses?
Yeah.
We put them on the line.
Yeah.
We were there. People were sick. The whole medical marijuana movement was born from gay men.
That's right.
Pushing back and saying, no, we're using this. You think we haven't had enough stigma and gotten beaten up just for walking down the street? we're fine with this. And the AIDS epidemic.
AIDS epidemic.
It was huge. So to be able to say, yes, this is our medicine, and we're using it, and to have that taken those risks, jail, prisons, facing death, illness, and facing the criminalization, medicine. It was built on the backs of sick and dying people. So I think that that is one of the most important things that people need to remember, if they even know it. They probably don't, but some do. Most do.
Some are learning. Some are learning today.
And we're just loud. You know, we just keep saying it. And you just, you know, this is where when you look at Trump and you say, Jesus, that guy just says the same. Not very well. He's not very well spoken. But he does say the same thing over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And the thing about repeating anything, it's like a mantra.
Yeah.
So if you repeat lies, you become the liar. You become the lie that you speak.
And it comes into fruition.
But you become that.
That's right.
So that guy's got some...
He's got something going on.
He's got some pretty big stuff. In my opinion, he's going to have to... I've seen a lot of people die. I don't know anything more than that what it appears to be. But
there's some karmic.
If you speak the truth,
yeah,
and you, whatever your mantra is, that's what becomes for you.
So, wow.
So
So
I think it's our messages need to be really well focused and well spoken, and to do it with an open heart. You know that we weren't enemies in the room last night.
No,
the school board's not our enemy.
No,
they did with. They felt compelled and was right for them to do. And so I think what we did last night is we made some friends. Maybe we made allies.
Yeah, there's a common goal.
We have to work on the friendship.
Common unity, community. Yeah. Work on the relationship, build the friendship, the bridge.
Yeah,
you had to build that bridge. And I think this is... there's
do it every day.
Every day.
You look at...
With all relations... With in the home.
So, hey, Georgia, here we come. We're going to get that book banning.
Oh, geez. I know. We need healing. We need healing.
School boards have a lot of power.
They do.
They know that. And I think I'm not saying that this is true, but I did read that there's another school board. I meant to look it up, but I left my phone.
It's okay.
I tried to put it down today for a bit.
That's healthy. I need to do that.
Yeah. I just needed to put it down today, but I wanted to look this up, that there's another school board that's pushing back on zoning. So I think we want to make sure that this isn't, we want to look into
that. It's not
that.
A trend, yeah.
Is there a trend? Is there something coming down from on high? Now, I'm not saying that that's what happened here. I think this was a very legitimate concern that arose out of a fear that, that's going to cause more harm.
Valerie, I don't mean to interrupt. We have 1 minute.
1 minute?
I know. It went fast.
You're not interrupting. But
what should we say?
And
how can we support for the next step?
Keep signing the petition.
Okay, and I'll help circulate that.
We need more votes because it has to go before the city council. I don't think we'll have a problem. But you know what? I think what we really need to do is show how many of us there are. Show the power. And when we speak a message, speak it with our heart, from our hearts, because that's, you can't, you can deny what somebody says and what they believe, but when you can't deny
when it comes from the heart, it goes to the heart.
Stories are powerful. Yeah. Stories are very powerful.
Yeah.
We all witnessed that last night. So yeah, it's beautiful.
We got to keep the stories, the oral traditions of this community and
absolutely
and support one another and build more bridges and then build those relationships and friendships.
Thank you for being such a carrier of this oral history. You're just like doing this.
We're doing it together. Takes a village. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Santa Cruz. Have a wonderful weekend. We went over. It's good, though. Excellent.